Our message and scripture reading this morning is from John 21, verses 1 through 19. It is on page 1687 in your pew Bible. I will be reading today from the Living Bible. This is a change-up. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Lake of Galilee. This is how it happened. A group of us were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, my brother James and I, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," we all said. We did, but caught nothing all night. At dawn, we saw a man standing on the beach, but couldn't see who he was. He called to us, "Any fish, boys?" "No," we replied. Then he said, "Throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of them." So we did, and couldn't draw in the net because the weight of the fish was so great. There were so many. Then I said to Peter, "It's the Lord." At that, Simon Peter put on his tunic and jumped into the water and swam ashore. The rest of us stayed in the boat and pulled a loaded net to the beach, about 300 feet away. When we got there, we saw a fire was kindled, and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. "Bring some of the fish you just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went out and helped us drag the net ashore. By his count, there were 153 large fish, and yet the net didn't break. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said, and none of us dared ask him if he was really the Lord, for we were quite sure he was. Then Jesus went around serving us bread and fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to us since his return from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others?" "Yes," Peter replied, "you know I am your friend." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I am your friend." "Then take care of my sheep." Once more he asked him, "Simon, son of John, are you even my friend?" Peter was grieved at the way that Jesus asked the question this third time. "Lord, you know my heart. You know I am," he said. Jesus said, "Then feed my little sheep. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked and go wherever you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will direct you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to him to let him know what kind of death he would die to glorify God. Then Jesus said, "Follow me." Amen.
Thank you, Jen. I'd just like to take a brief moment to thank each and every one of you people for your patience and understanding during these jury-rigged sermons. I'm under no illusion that people come here on a Sunday to hear me read. This neck works okay for a tie, but it was never cut out for a collar. So let's keep Pastor Joe in our prayers, and hopefully he's back on his feet and able to lead the flock like our true shepherd in the very near future. We do have Joe's sermon today, and his message is about the last breakfast. There have been many sermons written and theories given about the symbolism of the passage of Scripture that Jan just read, that it's almost hard to choose which to talk to you about today. I could talk to you about how John was the first to recognize Jesus and yet stayed in the boat, or why the other apostles decided to go fishing with Peter, or even why Peter decided to go fishing, or the imagery of Jesus sharing one more meal with his disciples, It's very easy to get caught up in trivial interpretations of Scripture and miss the point. Take a look at John 21, verse 11. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Now, why in heaven's name were there 153 fish? Have you ever wondered about that? No? Well, apparently others have. Cyril of Alexandria in the 5th century said that the 100 represented the fullness of the Gentiles, the 50 symbolized the remnant of Israel, and the 3, of course, was there for the Trinity. Augustine's theory in the 5th century was a little more complicated. He said there are 10 commandments, and 7 is the perfect number of grace, and that's 17, right? Now, if you add all the numbers from 1 to 17 together, you know, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 and so on, all the way up to 17, you'll get 153. And not only that, but if you were to arrange them with 17 fish in the first row and 16 in the next row and 15 in the next row, all the way down to a row of 1, you would get a perfect triangle, which of course symbolizes the Trinity. Jerome, he also lived in the 5th century, suggested that there were 153 different types of fish in the sea, and it was symbolic of the church reaching all the people in the world. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Personally, I have my own theory. Would you like to hear it? I think that it's mentioned because there were 153 fish in the net. That all being said, let's take a look at this last breakfast. Did you know that May 1st is the beginning of Mental Health Awareness Month? And I only bring this up because recently I read a story about a mental asylum. Let me share it with you. During a visit to the mental asylum, a visitor asked the director, "How do you determine whether or not a patient should be institutionalized?" "Well," the director said, "we do have a test. We fill up a bathtub, and then we offer a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket to the patient and ask him or her to empty the bathtub." "Oh, I understand," said the visitor. "So a normal person would use the bucket because it's bigger than the spoon or the teacup." "No," said the director. "A normal person would pull the plug." "Would you like a bed near the window?" The Apostle Peter was not a normal person. He hadn't been normal from the day Jesus entered his life. Starting at that first fishing miracle when Jesus told Peter to follow him in Luke 5, 1 through 11. That didn't mean he was going to get a bed by the window in a mental institution, but what it did mean for Peter is that God had big plans for him. But in order to fulfill those plans, Peter had to let go of some things, one of which was the heart-rending heavy burden of his denial of Christ. So today, let's look at how all that took place as recorded in John 21, 1 through 19. Excuse me. We know all about this miraculous catch and who was with Peter in the boat. One thing I like you to notice in this passage was the description of Peter's reactions and strength. When Peter realized it was Jesus on the shore, he put on his coat, his outer garment, John tells us, and jumped in and swam as fast as he could. Now I ask you, who would put on their coat before they dove into the water, especially if it was warm enough to have fished without it? Anyway, that left 6 disciples back in the boat. The catch of fish was so big they couldn't haul it into the boat, so they just drug it along with the boat as they took the boat to shore and tied up at the dock. But notice that when Jesus says, "Bring me some fish," Peter heads to the boat, grabs the whole net full of fish, and drags it ashore. 153 large fish, probably tilapia, and its average weight at around 5 pounds, And if you were to multiply that by 153, that would mean he was dragging 810 pounds of live flopping fish. More than six other men could get into the boat. Peter wasn't a man to be trifled with. Here he is strong of body, but he's weak in his soul, probably because of what took place at another fire of burning coals. You see, there had been another encounter across from a fire of burning coals in Caiaphas's courtyard when Peter denied Jesus, not once, but three times before the cock crowed. And now, with the smell of the burning coals all around him, he stands in his guilt and shame across from another fire on the beach with Jesus. There on the beach, Jesus had breakfast ready. It would be their last meal they would ever share together here on earth. They didn't know that yet, but it would be the last breakfast. And the significance of this last breakfast for Peter was probably the most poignant moment in Peter's life and ministry, because that last breakfast of grilled fish and bread was laid out across a fire of burning coals. Now, if you like the smell of fresh bread like I do, then you know that smell makes your mouth water. But I don't think Peter had much of an appetite that day. I'm sure Jesus was accustomed to the appetite of one would have had after a long night's work. So he offered them bread and fish. But in the offer, Jesus also knew of the deeper hunger that each of the disciples possessed, a hunger for truth, a hunger for the love of God, a hunger to know that this truly was Jesus, risen and standing before them. So just as he had offered himself to them every day of his earthly ministry, just as he had offered himself to them from the cross, and just as he had offered himself to them in the broken bread of that final Passover meal, Jesus once again offers them himself, the bread of life. He also offered them fish. Is it any wonder that the fish symbol came to be a symbol of Christianity? There was the fish from the loaves and fishes which fed 5,000. There were these two miraculous catches. There was also the fact that so many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. Fish seems an appropriate accompaniment for warm bread that morning. We know that during the early days of Christianity, Christians were often put to death for practicing their faith, so they worshipped in secret places. A fish painted or etched on the outside door of a house let other Christians know that they would be safe and welcome inside. The ancient catacombs in Rome are filled with images of fish, carved there by Christians hiding from persecution. And maybe, just maybe, that's what Jesus was letting the disciples know with the fish on that fire of burning coals. They were in a safe place. Across from that fire of burning coals at that last breakfast, Jesus addresses Peter, and it's filled with questions and answers. Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" So just what was Jesus talking about? Do you love me more than these other men love me? Do you love me more than you love these men? Or do you love me more than these things, the fishing boat, the nets, the gear, and all the stuff of fishing? Which one was it? It was probably a little of all of them. When Jesus said that all of the disciples would desert him after his betrayal, Peter had vehemently said, "I don't care what these guys do. I won't desert you no matter what happens." In a sense, Peter had been claiming that his love for Jesus was greater than theirs, that he was better than them. But he did desert Jesus. Not only did he desert Jesus, he denied even knowing him, not once, but three times. And then the cock crowed. So when Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Humbled, all Peter could say was, "Lord, you know I love you." As if to say, "Lord, I can't say that anymore, not after what I did, but I do love you. With love, compassion, mercy, grace, and forgiveness, Jesus looked at Peter across those burning coals, with the smell of that denial still in the air, and said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus is being very clear about Peter's role for caring for the young flock of new Christians, the lambs. Peter was to feed and nurture them through his leadership and faith. Peter was no longer simply the apprentice shepherd, now the flock was his. Jesus was passing the mantle, just as Elijah had done with Elisha. "Feed my lambs, be the good shepherd that I was. Be willing to lay down your life for the flock, as I did." As if once weren't enough, a second time Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter must have been confused. He just answered that question. And yet Jesus was asking again. So Peter didn't hesitate. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Then Jesus replied, "Take care of my sheep." Just in case Peter didn't get it, he was a little hard-headed at times. His strength wasn't the only reason Jesus called him the rock. "Take care of my sheep. Be the shepherd to this brand new flock that is struggling right now. Be the shepherd I called you to be, and I know you can be. Tend my sheep." And then a third time, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" I wonder if the smoke of that fire shifted just about then, or maybe it was the coals that shifted and sparked up as Peter heard the question and was stung to the very core. But whatever happened, I think Peter was drawn back to that scene in Caiaphas's courtyard. Maybe another cock crowed, but I think at that moment it all became very clear for Peter. He replied, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter must have been thinking, "Lord, I can't hide anything from you. I can't hold anything back from you. You know I would take it all back and do something different if I could." And then when Peter looked across this fire of burning coals and locked eyes with Jesus for the third time, what he saw was different. It wasn't loving disappointment. What he saw was an invitation into forgiveness. And it was an invitation back into the position of leadership for which Jesus had trained Peter. Three acts of denial, three acts of redemption across a fire. With love and compassion, filled with redemption and forgiveness, Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Jesus offered reconciliation, forgiveness, and redemption, and in so doing, empowered Peter to be the leader he needed to be. What an awesome Savior we have. Today, as we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, put yourself in Peter's place. We've each smelled the smoke of our own denial. We each have those moments in our lives which only Jesus can redeem and forgive. Bring them to him today. Receive the bread Jesus has to offer and experience that forgiveness for yourself. No one has prepared a bed by the window for you, but Jesus had prepared bread for you, the bread of life. Come, his breakfast is ready. Thanks. If we could please stand for our next